Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on RBI's bi-monthly monetary policy and India's strengthening growth trajectory. The participants are Siddharth Singh, economic analyst, and Nishit Kumar, anchor.
The Reserve Bank of India, in its bi-monthly monetary policy committee report yesterday, came out with various points and various ways forward for the Indian economy. And to discuss more about it, we are privileged to have with us today in our studios Mr. Siddharth Singh, noted economic analyst. Siddharth, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Siddharth, we saw the RBI Governor, Mr. Malhotra, keeping the repo intact at 5.5% and also a slew of other measures to uptick the Indian economy. But before we discuss any further about it, let's listen into the RBI Governor, what he said about the repo rate.
The MPC voted unanimously to keep the policy repo rate unchanged at 5.5%. Consequently, the STF rate remains at 5.25%, while the MSF rate and the bank rate remain at 5.75%. The MPC also decided to continue with the neutral stance.
Siddharth, we just saw the RBI governor talk about the repo rate being retained at 5.5% and of course the stance being neutral as well for the time being. Neutral means in the coming days the RBI has kind of retained some space for further tinkering maybe in the next policy meeting slated for December. So how do you see this at the moment, the repo being kind of kept at 5.5%?
So basically, the MPC, which met on 29th of September, 30th September, and the three-day meeting, and October 1st, the announcement was made after the committee again met in the morning. And on the expected lines, I would say the repo rate or the rates were left unchanged, and it was widely expected that RBI, the MPC, would not tinker with the rates at this moment. And as the governor rightly said, that since August policy, things have deteriorated, and that is why they wanted to have more data at their disposal to further take call on the interest rates. And he also rightly said that the neutral stance, obviously depending on the data, it could be any side, either side, you know, further bringing down the rates, which looks the more plausible, and obviously very unlikely that the rates would go up at this moment. And also we got a hint of the rates going forward. Obviously we could further see a cut in interest rate. They've already, since Mr. Malhotra has taken over as the RBI governor, the MPC has cut repo rate by almost 100 basis points.
Yes.
And so the transmission is still happening, and the two external members in the MPC also raised their view that RBI should change the stance and move to the accommodative stance, which indicates a further reduction in rates. And I think Mr. Malhotra has also given ample
On the dovish tone also kind of suggests that there could be some maybe another 25 BPS cut in the December meeting. Now coming to inflation projections, Siddharth, inflation, of course, you know, the median inflation has been mandated by the government to be kept at around 4%. Now inflation has cooled. The projections, what they suggest is that it's cooling from 3.1 to 2.6%, of course, backed by a good monsoon and the cooling of prices, especially in the food baskets. How do you see this inflation kind of giving that space to the central bank to kind of being more accommodative, as we discussed earlier?
See, Nishit, I think the most important thing for central bank is to manage price stability along with supporting growth. So any indication of further softening of prices, inflation, as the RBI had given a guidance of almost a little over 3% inflation for the current financial, now again revised downwards. So that is a big boost or a big cushion for RBI to further look at cutting interest rates. And yes, he attributed it mainly to the falling food prices, obviously aided by a good monsoon also. Plus, I think the government has also managed the food grain situation very well. We have good surpluses of both of all the important grains, especially wheat and rice. And there is a push to increase domestic production of pulses and oilseeds. So I think it is basically because of that they have kept the interest rates unchanged for now.
Absolutely. Inflation at the moment is at a very sweet spot so far as the Indian economy is concerned, but the momentum has to be carried in the coming days. And given the geopolitical tensions and the tariffs, the Trump tariffs and the other headwinds that the Indian economy is encountering, could be a challenge for the economy to sustain this trajectory in the coming days. And the RBI Governor Sanjay Malhotra also kind of hinted that with the GST cut, which kicked in on 22nd of September, we are to see, you know, a cut in prices. But also, there are concerns of which the RBI governor rightly mentioned that there are other kind of headwinds like the geopolitical tensions and other which could kind of come in the way. And so let's listen into what the RBI governor had to say about this.
Ongoing tariff and trade policy uncertainties will impact external demand, prolonged geopolitical tensions and volatility in international financial markets caused by risk-off sentiments of investors pose downside risks to the growth outlook. The implementation of several growth-inducing structural reforms, many of which were announced by the Honorable PM on 15th August, including the streamlining of GST, are expected to offset some of the adverse effects of the external headwinds. Taking all these factors into account, real GDP growth for this year is now projected at 6.8%. This is a revision from our earlier forecast of 6.5%. Q2 now is projected at 7%, Q3 at 6.4%, Q4 at 6.2%. Real GDP growth for Q1 next year is projected at 6.4%.
So Siddharth, we just heard the governor kind of giving this economic growth projection for FY26, which is revised upward to 6.8 from August forecast of 6.5, riding on a better than expected Q1 GDP growth of 7.8%. But he also had a tone of caution in his words when he kind of moderated it to a lower number, you know, in the coming days, especially in the next fiscal. So how do you see this?
See, Nishit, as we were talking about the inflation, I think inflation has also been aided. One thing we need to mention is also by the cut in GST rates, which is also lowering the prices of commodities. Yeah. And yes, coming to your question on growth, I think, yes, he's amply cautioned us on the impact of geopolitical scenario and also the headwinds coming from the tariff, the uncertainty being created by the Trump tariff, especially post-August. As you mentioned, things have deteriorated from August. We are now, India is under a 50% tariff from US. There's no clarity as how things would pan out. But the better part is obviously the steps, as the governor said, the steps taken by the government, obviously the cut in income tax plus GST boost announced by the Prime Minister in his 15th August address, and then the GST committee meeting, GST.
The 56th meeting, yes.
Yeah, at the GST meeting. So the decision was taken to cut the rates and two slab rates now, and a big boost in terms of pushing consumption. And the promising part of the MPC was that the growth has been revised by RBI for the current financial year upwards from 6.5% to 6.8%. Obviously, we would see some moderation in Q3 and Q4, but still India continues to be in the upper band on one of the fastest growing economies, 6% plus, and not only 6% plus, I would say on the upper band. And that is why now I think RBI also has announced two of measures, and as the governor rightly said, now it's time for the monetary policy, fiscal policy, all the regulators and the policy makers to work in a coordinated manner.
True. Siddharth, the RBI met the long-standing demand of banks by allowing them to finance acquisition, of course, mergers and acquisitions by the Indian companies, a move that was also expands the bank's cap market lending in the country. Now, earlier, the companies used to look to the NBFCs, you know, the PE firms or the foreign lenders, you know, to raise capital. Now, how will it boost the credit flow and also provide space for more transparency and Atmanirbharta, of course?
You've raised a very important question. I think slew of measures which were related to the banks and especially the credit flow by Indian banks to the corporates. And one of them obviously is that now the Indian banks are being allowed to fund merger and acquisition, a big market estimate. If I would say a rough estimate says this could increase the credit of Indian banks by almost 1.2 lakh crores if they are allowed to do these fund these merger and acquisition. Plus also besides this, if we see there hasn't been announcement of giving credit to one single company beyond 10,000 crores, which was restricted sometime in 2016. So now, and though a lot of people and RBI governor, along with while saying this, while making this announcement, said that they are very conscious of the price stability as well as the financial stability, and there is no risks coming out of these announcements. Plus, also another important announcement issue that we would look at would be the allowing the loans against shares and the value. Earlier, it was restricted up to 25 lakh rupees, which has that also has been raised to about now from 25 lakhs to 1 crores. And also the IPO, funding of IPOs by banks has been raised from 10 lakhs to 25 lakhs. So I think all these announcements would also not only increase the flow of credit to the corporates, also to the markets, and would also give a fillip to the credit by the banks and improve their net interest margins.
The weighted average lending rate, that is WALR, of the scheduled commercial banks moderated by 58 basis points, Siddharth, between February and August 25, during which the repo was cut by 100 basis points. Now, likewise, the weighted average domestic term deposit rate, that is WADTDR, on fresh deposits also declined by 106 BPS, that is basis points. Now, how do you see this effect panning out to the borrowers, to the credit flow and depositors as well, or savers?
See, any interest rate cut by the central bank, obviously, then there is a lag period. When it's being passed on to the consumer on both the sides. Obviously, when the rate cut is there, obviously, the lenders also gain. But at the same time, there is also an impact on the borrowers. The rates on the deposits by the borrowers also go down. But obviously, the larger aim is to also ensure that there is credit flow to the industry, to the corporates, to the business at large, to give a fillip to the economy, to push to the economy. So I think that is a big reason why RBI in this policy has also held back from cutting any rates, because the 100 basis point cut announced by the MPC in its earlier policy plus in cash reserve ratio also still taking shape. So I think they want to see the impact of this pass through over the next 2-3 months before taking a call on further cut in interest rates. So the figures given by you, I think RBI as of now is very, very happy with the way the transmission of interest rate is happening.
Yes, Siddharth, we look at things from depositors' perspective. Obviously, the rates come down and it also affects their fixed deposit rates and all. But if we look at the income tax relief that the government gave in this budget and of course the GST rate cuts last month, they are a big, big plus signs which could more than offset, I guess, the so-called losses if you look at the fixed deposit rate.
And Nishit, a bigger returns. Point to be made here is also that when deposit rates are coming down, respective of that, also the inflation is coming down. So inflation of 2% is also a big cushion to the people at large. And the interest rates or the aim of the Reserve Bank at present is to ensure that there is price stability. Price stability is obviously in our favor. And so it is time to cut interest rates and to take steps which boost our growth prospects. So I think that keeping in mind that the RBI current policy, lot of measures on banking side, allowing larger credit for corporates, and it is aimed to ensure that the negative impact of tariff is nullified as far as possible.
One major area of concern, Siddharth, is the slide of the rupee here. Now, RBI is kind of mandated, to kind of stabilize or to moderate the rupee so that it doesn't slide any further. So, in the coming days or in the coming times, what proactive things or proactivity could be foreseen by the RBI doing?
I would say they've already taken, if you look at, RBI is working very continuously on internationalization of rupee. And if you look at yesterday's MPC itself, it has announced for a reference rate of rupee with its most, where India has trading very, I would say, high trading ratios with the countries. So they have announced, they'll be announcing reference rates. And to start with, it is going to be Indonesia and UAE. And also it has allowed lending of two people from Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka in India. Indian rupee. RBI is already taking steps for internationalization of rupee, and a big step is this reference rate, which would be the first one would be, I think, with its trading partners like Indonesia, I think, and all UAE. So, and in terms of volatility, I think, yes, the uncertainty obviously brings down that leads to volatility, but the high forex reserves, I think RBI would intervene to curb any extreme volatility.
Thanks so very much, Siddharth, for having come in our studios and shared your views on the RBI's MPC outcome yesterday. Thanks.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on RBI's bi-monthly monetary policy and India's strengthening growth trajectory. The participants were Siddharth Singh, economic analyst, and Nishit Kumar, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92 8909 4044. Spotlight.